Good morning, everybody. This is Melissa Merson, the Communications Director at the Congressional Budget Office. Welcome to our call. I have to apologize to everybody that our director, Peter Orszag, is not with us this morning. Peter was called by the Senate Finance Committee to participate in the S-CHIP markup and is unable to be here. The call will be led this morning by Matt Goldberg, who is the Deputy Assistant Director at CBO for our National Security Division. And along with Matt, we have Bayo Adedaji, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, and he is a principal analyst in the National Security Division, along with Heidi Golding, who is also a principal analyst. Both of these individuals who were instrumental in getting the report out, and Matt helped too. Matt will open up and sort of outline or summarize the key points in the report for a few minutes, and then we'll be happy to take your questions. Please press star 1 on your keypad if you would like to get in line to ask a question. I will recognize you by name when your microphone is live, and then if for some reason you decide that you no longer wish to ask a question after you've done that, just press star 2 to get out of the queue. If anyone needs any materials or has trouble accessing the report, please email me at mmerson@cbo.gov either during or after the call, and we will get you whatever it is that you need. And with that, I will back off and turn the mic over to Matt Goldberg.
Thanks. Good morning. This is Matt Goldberg. The report I'm talking about today is called the All-Volunteer Military Issues and Performance, which was posted on our website this morning. The all-volunteer force replaced the draft in 1973 toward the end of the Vietnam conflict, and we're currently in the most intense operations we've had since Vietnam and the most stringent test of the all-volunteer military. We've got over 200,000 people deployed in Iraq or Afghanistan at any point in time, which is the largest number we've had since Vietnam, although there, during the peak in 1968 or 9, we had over 500,000 troops in Vietnam. Concerns have been raised by many folks about the viability of the all-volunteer force, or I may use the acronym AVF, in the current wartime environment. The Army has had recruiting problems. The Army Active Reserve Guard, none of them made their goals in 2005. They made their goals in 2006, and the Active Army has made its month-to-month goals this fiscal year through April, but has missed May and June, so they're still ahead of the targets year-to-date. So there are concerns about whether the military can draw enough volunteers to continue the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, and there are also concerns about whether wartime military service is spread equally throughout different segments of society, either in terms of income distribution or race or ethnic and other conditions, other dimensions of society. So the objectives of the CBO study, we're revisiting the arguments for and against the draft versus the all-volunteer force. Some of these are the same arguments that were made in the 60s and 70s during the Vietnam era, and there's also some more recent commentary. The other thing we've done is we've looked at the performance of the all-volunteer force. There were all kinds of predictions made, some optimistic and some very dire, when the all-volunteer force was adopted in 73. And we're going to look at several aspects of the performance of the volunteer force. Quantity goals, the degree to which the military has made their recruiting targets. Quality goals, quality is measured along two main dimensions, the percentage of recruits that have high school diploma graduates, and also the percent who score above some threshold on the AFQT, that is the Armed Forces Qualification Test, basically the aptitude test that's given upon entry. We also looked at costs, recognizing that there's a distinction between the costs on the federal budget and the costs that are borne by other individuals. And we looked at the representativeness of the military in terms of the age range of recruits, the gender, the representation of minorities, and also the representation in terms of income distribution. Are we drawing a representative number of people from both the low and the high ends of the income distribution? Some of the things we have found along those lines, as I mentioned, the two main factors that the military looks at in recruiting for the volunteer force are the educational attainment and the entry test scores. Those are the two most important factors in predicting whether or not a recruit will complete the first term, his or her first term of service, and also productivity of those folks in their military jobs. In terms of high school diploma graduation, the civilian population ages 18 to 24, about 80% of them have high school diplomas, and that number has been pretty steady for a couple of decades. The goal within DOD since the 1990s has been to better that and get not 80% but 90% of diploma graduates. Generally speaking, during that period, the military has met that goal, although their times have been tougher in the last 2 years. Only 91% of the accessions were in 2006 were high school diploma graduates, and in particular, that number was driven by the Army numbers, which had fallen below their service-specific goal. That is, the Army only had 87% high school graduates in 2005 and only 81% in 2006. So in the big picture, the volunteer force has met the quality standard for a high school diploma, but in the last couple of years, it's been a bit of a stretch, particularly for the Army. The other main dimension of quality is the entry test score, the so-called AFQT score. By statute, the military does not accept anyone in Category 5, which is the lowest 10th percentile, lowest 10% of people on the entry exam. And they limit the number of people in so-called Category 4, which are folks who score in the 10th to 30th percentile on the entry exam. That's Category 4s are limited to 4% of the accessions in any year. The actual performance relative to that goal of capping Cat 4 is at 4%. Category 4 accessions have been very small since 1990. They crept up in the last 2 years to about 2% of total accessions, and in particular the Army approached, they were still barely under their 4% limit in both 2005 and 2006. So again, similar to the situation on high school degrees, the military has been meeting the statutory as well as their own internal standards for quality of recruits with a little bit of slippage in the last couple of years. Another concern has been the issue of military service and the nation. How many people serve? How representative are they? At the moment, there are 1.4 million troops on active duty, which represents about 1% of the U.S. population between ages 17 and 49. 1.4 million. There's another 840,000 reserves. One concern that's been raised by some is whether minorities have been either deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, or killed in theater at higher rates than their representation either in the population or in the military force. Our finding is the same finding for both black and Hispanic troops, is they're not being deployed or killed at any higher rates than their representation in the population. And one reason that seems to be true is that black and Hispanic troops are not disproportionately clustered in the combat operations, meaning infantry, tank crews, et cetera. If anything, they're in support jobs such as truck driver, repair, logistics, which of course in this type of war are also subject to engagement with the enemy forces and casualties, and certainly suffered casualties, but not at any disproportionate rate. One other thing we looked at that's another concern being raised about the volunteer force is the income distribution. Specifically, the concern that whether recruits are coming disproportionately from the low end of the income distribution. This is a difficult problem as a researcher because what we're really concerned about here is not the income distribution of the 18 to 24-year-olds necessarily, but the families from which they're coming, that is, the family income of their parents. It's not something that's routinely collected by the military. They don't specifically ask recruits, how much do your parents make? So there have been various studies, and we had our own analysis to this, various studies in the last few years that try to proxy the income distribution by looking at the income in zip codes. From census data, you can look at the median income of zip codes, and you could look at the zip codes where the recruits are coming from, and you can look at the zip codes where the 18 to 24-year-olds live more generally. And you can compare them and get an idea whether recruits are representative of the income distribution in society. There have been a number of studies that have found that although recruits tend tend to come a little bit less than or underrepresented at both the lowest end and the highest end of the income distribution. Now, one reason for that, the lowest end, is that folks in the poorest zip codes may not meet the military standards along other dimensions, such as high school graduation. But nonetheless, many of the studies find that the lowest and highest ends, you don't get quite as many people recruiting, signing up for the military as in sort of the middle of the income distribution. One exception to that is a study that was done in 2006 by the Heritage Foundation, which concluded that recruits were coming disproportionately from the top 40% of the income distribution. Now, although we don't specifically critique or criticize Heritage's methodology, we get a different finding. Our finding is more in line with the other studies, not Heritage specifically, but some of the other studies that are out there. We find that the lowest 10% of the income distribution is underrepresented. That is, only 6% of the recruits appear to come from the lowest 10% of the distribution. And similarly, only 7% of the recruits appear to come from the highest 10% of the distribution. But in the big middle, including the sort of the lower middle income section of the distribution, that is, folks between the 10th and 50th percentiles of the income distribution, if anything, they're overrepresented in the military compared to the numbers of 18 to 24-year-olds that are coming out of households in that area of the income distribution. I think at this point, I'll open up to any questions.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your keypad and wait for me to recognize you. And I know that the report is so clear that there won't be many questions. But for starters, let's hear from Rick Mays.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Rick, I got you.
I have a question about the cost per recruit. When you look at the options at the end of the report, you're looking at what level of draftees you might be able to bring in and what the costs are. We know because of analysis what the cost per recruit is. Do you have an average cost per draftee that it would cost the services?
I don't think we have that. We didn't make an attempt to specifically cost out all the options you've seen at the end. Although we do think that the cost per recruit would decrease on average, because for one thing, when you draft, you can cut back on the number of recruiters, you can cut back on advertising, and also you don't necessarily have to keep pace a first term pay with inflation or with the civilian cost employment cost index anymore, because after all, you're pulling people in who might not voluntarily sign up. So we think cost per recruit would go down. We don't have a specific estimate on that, Rick.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? We don't have anyone in line right now, so if you want to ask a question, press star 1. Or, Rick, you're free to ask some more if you like.
No, the report was so good, Melissa, I could not possibly have any more questions.
Okay. Well, if there aren't any more questions, we will end the call at this time. So we'll wait just another 30 seconds or so and see if anybody signs up. Okay. Well, then, thank you all. And let us know if you have any other questions later on after you read through the report. We're here to help you however we can. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye-bye.